Nearly 50% of the people in different states are already having antibodies to COVID.
India increases inoculations. It's Monday, March 8th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, life after vaccination. Finding safe food, a racial flashpoint goes to trial. Celebrating International Women's Day. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India's inoculation drive against COVID-19 has gotten a massive boost as it begins offering vaccines to older people. The effort to increase vaccinations comes as a surge in cases in some places raises new concerns in a country where infections had declined dramatically. Anjana Pasricha has more for us from New Delhi in this report.
Senior citizens lined up enthusiastically as India expanded its vaccination program for COVID-19 to people above the age of 60 and those older than 45 with medical conditions. It's a dramatic change in a program marred by vaccine hesitancy in recent weeks when it covered healthcare and frontline workers.
I haven't gone out for a year and I feel safer to be able to move around a bit and without the fear of the virus.
Health authorities have underlined the need for inoculations as cases rise after a steady decline since September.
This marginal increase in certain states is a matter of concern. We cannot take it lightly at all.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi was among the first to get the shot this week. In a tweet, he urged people to do the same. He took a domestically developed vaccine that some had been reluctant to take because final efficacy results are not yet available. Covaxin is one of the two vaccines being administered in India. However, recent interim data showing that it is more than 80% effective could encourage more people to take the vaccine.
It is vital that we don't let this gain that India has made slip away and go Europe way, where after initial victory, they are now facing a second lockdown.
The hope is that if India can inoculate enough people in the coming months, it could break the chain of transmission in a country where millions have already been exposed to the virus. It is called herd immunity.
We have learned from various community data that nearly 50% of the people in different states are already having antibodies to COVID. And if we add this segment to that, we might be hitting that 70% magic figure of herd immunity, which actually may reach us to the tipping point beyond which the COVID numbers may start coming down automatically.
Some have questions about the vaccines. Weary of the pandemic, though, most are ready for the shots.
Even if it is good only for a certain period of time, even then I feel we should go for it. I certainly will.
Since it has to be done, I've taken it. But I don't know if I'm fully convinced that this is the best shot to take.
India's two advantages: a massive reduction in infections and ample supply of shots in the world's largest vaccine producer have raised hopes of building on gains made so far in a country that has counted over 11 million cases. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
There's much more on this story and all the stories you hear on VOA Asia. You can find it by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia. And, of course, you can join us on our website. That's voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Myanmar security forces use stun grenades, tear gas against protesters. Militant attack on Pakistan Navy vehicle kills one, injures two. Cambodia aims to reduce dependency on U.S. dollar. China's media repression extends to Hong Kong, according to a report. After 63 years, China rethinks strict residency rules. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit our Facebook page at VOA Asia and join us at our website, voanews.com. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Glad to have you with us. What happens after you've received both doses of the COVID vaccine? Lisa Bakalitz looked into how much life changes, if at all. Anna Rice narrates her story.
You might be done with the COVID vaccine, but that doesn't mean you can start ignoring face masks and social distancing, say doctors. All the safety measures must stay in place.
I work in a rehab hospital, so we treat a lot of patients post-COVID who are just deconditioned, very weak, still on oxygen. So we still are going to use our masking policies. We're still going to use N95s when necessary, and we're still doing social distancing.
That's because doctors say it's still not clear if someone who had the vaccine can still spread the virus.
You may still have a little bit of virus that isn't hurting you, but it's being spread if you cough or sneeze or talk closely to someone.
Doctors urge people who have been vaccinated to continue all the usual safety measures.
We wish to keep promoting wearing the mask in the general community. We can't have some people without masks and some people with masks. That's too confusing. Wearing the mask should be the socially normal thing to do for a while. We will let you know when you can throw away the mask.
Doctors also note that a single vaccine does not guarantee someone won't be infected and caution there are new and evolving COVID-19 strains.
There's some evidence that the current vaccines are effective, but there's concerning new evidence that maybe not as effective against the South African variant.
Scientists also don't know how long the vaccine is effective, but some restrictions can be relaxed.
Suppose you want to get together with grandparents or others. If they are vaccinated and you are vaccinated, then you can get together. But suppose only they are vaccinated. Can you visit them? I say yes, but still be somewhat careful, right?
Doctors can't say for certain just yet when life will go back to the pre-pandemic normal. At first, they emphasize that it's important to get as many people vaccinated as possible. For Lisa Bakalitz in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, an official from ousted de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy Party has died in police custody as security forces continue to crack down on anti-coup protesters in Myanmar. NLD member Kin Wong Lot was arrested during overnight raids in Yangon Saturday. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today as we begin a brand new week on VOA Asia. According to the nonprofit Feeding America Group, one in six Americans do not have easy access to healthy, safe food. VOA's Nukbat Malik takes us to one of these food banks in the Washington, D.C. region that's trying to change that.
These days in the United States, there are long lines of cars waiting to collect free food at food banks because so many have lost their jobs.
I'm not come regularly, but I'm starting about 3-4 months ago.
I have family and we have no work.
Coming here for more than 5 years.
Located some 16 kilometers from Washington, D.C., Darul Hijra Islamic Center offers free groceries to needy people. For some, this is their first visit. For others, they have been coming here for years to get food for their families.
such as some potatoes, onions. Some
social worker Nabila Om Salam says the grocery package includes halal chicken as well as basic vegetables like onions, tomatoes and potatoes.
Every Thursday, about over 100 families that we deal with, they are registered with us. And we use a system through the county, so if they're already registered, we do have them in the system as well.
Hunger in America is not new, but the problem has become worse because of the coronavirus pandemic, which has caused so many to lose their livelihood. Feeding America, a non-governmental charity organization, estimates one in six Americans could face hunger because of the pandemic. Food banks across the country are seeing a rise in demand as unemployed Americans seek assistance.
People think, you know, you're living in America, oh, nobody goes hungry. But you'll be surprised how many people do. You know, if they're going to think, should they save their money for lunch or do they pay their rent? You know, they got to pay their rent first.
Hundreds of religious and community centers across the United States, much like Darul Hijra Islamic Center, turn into free food centers every week where groceries from big food banks are distributed among the needy. Feeding America, the biggest food network, runs about 200 food banks nationwide. These non-governmental centers collect several tons of donated food annually, which is distributed to the needy with the help of volunteers. Naeem Beg of the Darul Hijra Islamic Center came to the United States from Pakistan more than 30 years ago. He says the concept of poverty in the United States is different, but the suffering of the poor is the same.
Pakistan, India, ya wahan dusre mumalik mein ghurbat.
The definition of poverty or a poor person that we have in Pakistan, India or other countries is when you don't have shoes on your feet and your clothes are torn. But in America, the poor will approach you driving a car. Car is not a luxury here, it is a necessity.
Volunteers and other staff say most of those seeking help are neither well-educated nor speak English well enough to get a good job. This group of people has never had an easy life in the United States to begin with. But the COVID pandemic has widened the gap between rich and the poor in the world's largest economy. Nukhbat Malik, VOA News, Falls Church, Virginia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, Tibet's spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, urged the world to be brave and get vaccinated after he was inoculated with the coronavirus vaccine in northern India. However, some countries are having trouble obtaining enough vaccines for their populations. You'll find all the big stories on VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, jury selection is about to begin later today in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the white police officer accused of second-degree murder in the death of an African-American, George Floyd. Video of the incident in Minneapolis last May sparked protests around the world. Mike O'Sullivan reports the trial follows the anniversary of another high-profile racial incident that happened in Los Angeles 30 years ago.
The fired officer was seen in a video nearly 9 minutes long with his knee on George Floyd's neck. Floyd died in police custody. The officer, Derek Chauvin, is charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter. Three other former officers are charged as accomplices and are being tried separately. Minneapolis is quiet after months of protests and violence that broke out after Floyd's death in May. But the community is still tense, says a local religious leader.
Our city is bracing for seemingly, you know, the inevitable, meaning some, you know, disruption, perhaps some unrest and protest, you know, as the trial gets underway.
Across the country in Los Angeles revived memories of an incident 30 years ago, the police beating of a black motorist, Rodney King, after the failure to convict four officers charged with excessive use of force. The city erupted in violence that left more than 60 dead and caused $1 billion in property damage. It has been called part of a pattern.
I was there in L.A. when it was a Rodney King beating, and I watched that and I said, man, if they get away with this now, what's going to happen later? And it continues to happen.
George Floyd's killing sparked protests throughout the United States and around the world, from Britain to Senegal.
A lot has changed. Still, a lot has not changed. And the number one thing that has not changed enough is accountability. We had zero accountability with the Rodney King beating.
And too little now, she says. Amid the outrage and grief after Floyd's death, she says too many police killings that she thinks are unjustified have gone unpunished. Both observers agree these are historic times.
You know, we'll reflect back and we'll ask, where were we in that moment? What happened? And we'll all remember where we were, right? We'll all know that. But the question is, what did we do?
Police point out the dangers of their work and say community-based policing and other alternative approaches, which are now being explored in many cities, can engage law enforcement and local residents as partners. Police killings in the United States remain at around 1,000 to 1,100 a year, according to ongoing tallies by the Washington Post and an online site called Mapping Police Violence. Most stem from violent confrontations between suspects and police, and some suspects, like Floyd, are unarmed. Half of those killed are white, yet those studies show that African Americans are disproportionately affected. Activists say the mounting toll shows the need for a radically different kind of policing in American cities. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Making headlines in Asia, residents say Myanmar security forces conducted overnight raids Saturday into Sunday in several districts of Yangon, Myanmar's largest city. At least three people were arrested in downtown Yangon, according to residents, with no reason given for the arrests. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, for over a century, International Women's Day has celebrated women's achievements across the globe, overcoming persistent gender inequality. This year's observance comes as the United Nations reports women, especially women of color, face very high rates of unemployment. VOA's Isha Sarai has more.
While employment has dropped across the world during the COVID-19 pandemic, the economic impacts on women have been particularly harsh, according to the United Nations.
Women, who represent 70% of all healthcare workers, have been among those most affected by the pandemic and among those leading the response to it. Gender inequalities have increased dramatically in the past year as women bear the brunt of school closures and working from home.
UN data show employment losses for women stand at roughly 5% globally, compared to 3.9% for men.
Mothers and children were saying they didn't have anything to eat. That broke my heart. Why? I have lived like that. And as a mother, seeing your children hungry and not being able to give them something, even a candy or a bread, so at least they don't cry from hunger.
In the United States, employment losses were particularly high among Black and Latina women, according to the CEO of a platform that promotes the careers of women of color.
The industries in which Black and brown women heavily are employed by, so hospitality, leisure, some of those industries have a very high concentration of Black and brown women. And so in 2020, we realized that a lot of those industries were heavily affected. Therefore, it affected the women who were employed there, who are no longer employed.
Despite facing economic challenges and shouldering the burden of childcare as schools close, women around the world have found ways to use their skills and inspire others.
My son told me, "Mom, let's do something productive. Some YouTube channels they see don't teach anything. Let's teach them how to farm or teach them something. Let's give them hope."
We believe that women are strong and we can make a change. We too have abilities and can work alongside men.
The theme of International Women's Day for 2021 is Choose to Challenge, a call to action for a more gender-equal world. For many women globally, the biggest immediate challenge may be to just stay afloat in a pandemic-ravaged world. Isha Sarai, VOA News.
Two documentaries are shining a light on women defying the odds in the face of brutality and corruption. VOA's Penelope Palou spoke with the filmmakers and has this story for us.
It's the middle of the night, and a team of Yazidi volunteers sneak into the Al-Hol refugee camp in northeastern Syria to identify and free Yazidi girls and women known as Sabayas, sexual captives hidden away by ISIS supporters. After the fall of the Islamic State, the camp became known for housing both supporters and victims of ISIS. Speaking through a translator, filmmaker Hogir Hirori says he came to the dangerous area to film his documentary Sabaya, armed with both a gun and a camera.
One of the hardest things in the process of trying to find the girls is that ISIS switches locations of the girls all the time.
Hirori, an ethnic Kurd who fled to Sweden, says finding these women would have been impossible had it not been for other women, among them former Sabayas, who dared to sneak back into the camp to help those left behind. Sabaya shows freed girls with babies and toddlers in tow, fathered by their captors. Initially, many are fearful that their families would not welcome them back. But Hirori says with the help of the volunteers, many of these traumatized women slowly rebound and find a purpose saving others. In the documentary Writing with Fire, 32-year-old Mira is the chief reporter of Khabar Lariya, the only newspaper run by women in the Indian province of Uttar Pradesh. Filmmakers Arintu Thomas and Sushmit Ghosh of the acclaimed documentary Writing with Fire explain how these Dalit women defy India's rigid caste system.
I mean, mostly Dalit women for an upper caste man would essentially be women who would be cleaning their toilets. But when they're confronted with the sight of a woman with a mobile phone asking them questions, they don't know what to say. I think essentially they're stumped.
The film shows these women asking men in power positions hard questions about rape, corruption, and oppression of minorities. Some have only basic education while others have studied journalism. Many are mothers and wives. Mira, for example, has managed the household since the age of 14. The filmmakers say despite the patriarchal Indian system in Uttar Pradesh, these women enjoy the support of their husbands and fathers. They are breadwinners who work hard.
This is their everyday routine. You're taking a train for a couple of hours, and then you're taking a bus, and then you're taking a rickshaw, and then you're walking for about 2 to 3 hours to get to a village that doesn't exist on a map. That journey itself can break you down.
Armed with their mobile cameras, these women push through boundaries. Khabar Lariya, the digital news platform they created, boasts 150 million viewers so far and is growing. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Although our program is coming to a conclusion for today, you can join us again tomorrow. And in the meantime, we're online 24/7. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just look us up under our name, VOA Asia. We thank you for joining us, and we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.